That you're not allowed to work together. Any two creatures, like a man and a woman.
No, just joking.
Any two creatures are not allowed to work together. Who adin lechol shnei minim shevoylam? Who adin lehanhigam yachad? It doesn't mean to actually work, even to guide them, to be a manik yachad kishudim zugim, to tie them in pairs. Okay, you have two animals. You have I think the Gemara is even a bird. A bird or anything. If they're tied together, if they're carrying a burden. If they're carrying any burden, or they're dragging any burden, and they're tied together, and you lead them. The Pasuk over here says to plow. So Rashi over here, and it says, shor uvachamor. So Rashi says, lav dafka plow, anything. Even if they're pulling a wagon. When it says ox and a donkey, lav dafka an ox and a donkey, any two different creatures. Yachtov, also he seems to say lav dafka, yachtov means, I guess, lehanhigam yachat. Okay, let's see what it says over here, in the Targum, Yoin Targum Unkelus. Targum says, what does it mean, lo sirde besur v'chamora kachado? Kachado means as one. An ox and a donkey, sirde means to plow. Okay, I think it means to plow. Sirde. Let me look at the Ma'at Tzvari in Parshas Kisetze, Perek Chof Beis Pasuk 10. Lesach Shoshanach Yachtov says over here in the Ma'at Tzvari. Pasuk Yud Kachado. No, he just goes on the word Kachado. Yachtov Kos Varayvich Shema Ein Dom Yachtov the Yisur Chadish Vechlish Lechtov the Shadnes. The Becharisha by Charisha Lahik Berakosiv Shayut Samudim Yachad Elosh Lo Yimshichu Hamacharisha Biyachad Aval Gabe Shadnes Sarch She Mamash Chibu Yachad. Gam Unkelis Letirgim Lein Charisha Charisha Mechuba Kachado. Commotion taking with Gabi Levish. This talk is very interesting. Okay, so you know we have to go. We have to see the next pasuk. Okay, so we're going to come back to this because over here we have the word yachtav and two pasuk and next juxtaposed. Lesilbash, the next pasuk. Lesilbash shatnes. Do not dress yourself in shatnes. Tzemer upishtim yachtav. Now notice it says word yachtav by plowing, and it says yachtav by shatnes. Do we translate these words the same? Let's see. First, let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Do not wear shatnez. Rashi, shatnez, loshoin eruv. The word shatnez means a mixture. Rabbi Seidu perishu, shua, tovui, vonuz. Shua means to spin. Vitovui. Okay, we should get an English. Okay, look at the English translation over here in Rashi. Okay, I have the English. Over here, the word shua means pressed. And the word tovui means woven. And the word nuz means twisted. Okay, so there are three different words. Pressed, woven, and twisted. That's the word of shatnez. Okay, shatnez is... it would probably be much better for us to appreciate this if we would actually see how things are actually made. To go see the actual processing of these things. Press, woven, and twisted, and those are the three things. Okay, but it means literally a mixture. Now, if you notice, we have the word mixture already three times. Yesterday we learned the word kiloyim. The word kiloyim means a mixture. Then we have pentikdash hamaleya. According to one interpretation, the word maleya means a mixture, a dimua, the fullness, but it's a type of fullness which is a mixture. Because according to one of the interpretations we learned yesterday in Unkelus, that the word dimua means dimas, a mixture. Do they have over here English in Targum? Do not plant your vineyard and mixture. I didn't even realize this. The expansion because it will become obnoxious. So I didn't realize this. They have an English translation on Targum here. That's amazing. That's very helpful for us. Okay, but who says their English translation is correct? All right, so here is very interesting. Over here, we have already the third time the word mixture. We had yesterday le'sizra karmicho kiloyim. The word kiloyim means a mixture. Pentikta shamaleya, less the expansion. Okay, so he translated the word malaya mean the expansion. In the Unkelus in the Hebrew said that was the word dilma dimas. Dilma tisa will become, we're going back to yes, it will become obnoxious. All right, over here, le'sachreish, le'sil b'shatneis, do not don, wear a mixture. Shadneis, he says, mixture. What does it say over here in the Hebrew? In the Hebrew word, le'sil b'shatneis. Okay, it doesn't really translate the word in that targum. Amar v'chiton, wool and linen, mechubar kachado. Okay, mechubar. There's an extra word here in the targum of yachdov. See, we have the word yachdov twice. We have it by plowing, le'sacharosh b'shor uvachamor yachdov. And we have the word yachdov here in Pasuk 11. Le'sil b'shatnei semer pishlam yachdov. In Pasuk Yud, when it says the word yachdov, all it says is kachado. And in Pasuk 11, when it says the word v'chiton michubar kachado, yachdov, the unkelus adds in another word. The word he adds in is michubar. Doesn't just say the word yachdov, it adds another word, michubar. Okay, so that's a very interesting point that it's different. What's the tack of the difference? Because when it comes to clothing, it's not just enough. A person is only in violation wearing wool and linen is if the wool and the linen are actually interwoven. They overlap with one another. They actually, you know, they're different. You know, here it says shatnez, it has to be pressed together, spun together, and has to be all the three words, the three different things. Vinuz. Nuz means it has to be twisted. So you need the wool and linen, midaraisa, you have to have them mamish together to an intensity. And that's why Unkelus, when he translates the word, he adds another word, michubar. But in the previous pasuk, l'sachresh, b'shor v'chamor yachdov, he doesn't say the word michubar. It just says, don't have on one side of the field an axe, and on the other side of the field a donkey, And together they're going to pull the animal. Don't do that because they're going to be separate. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis, Gidilim Taselach. You shall make for yourself Gidilim. What does Gidilim mean? Now we know the word Gidilim means tzitzis. Where does that come from? Al on arba kanfos kisuscha, upon the four corners of your garment, asher techaseba, which you cover yourself. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Gedilim ta'aselcha af min haklayim." The juxtaposition of the mitzvah of tzitzis to the pasuk of le'sil b'shatneis is coming to teach you that although I have forbidden you to wear wool and linen together, but with regard to the mitzvah of tzitzis, then I permit you to wear wool and linen. You can have tzitzis made from wool, put on a garment of linen. That's the smichas af min haklayim l'kach simochon hakosuf. What does it say over here in? What does it say over here in the Targum? The Targum says, it says, Kirus Pidin Tabilach. Now, what in the world does this word mean? So I didn't realize when I click on the letter A, I have an English translation. And it says, make yourself a pendant. Make yourself pendant threads. Now, what is a pendant? A pendant is an ornament. No, isn't that what a pendant is? It's an ornament. Let's see what it says in Google. How do they type the word pendant? Pendant. Okay, a pendant. Okay, definition. A pendant is a loose hanging piece of jewelry generally attached by a small loop to a necklace, which may be known as a pendant necklace. A pendant earring is an earring with a piece hanging down. Its name stems from the Latin word pendure, an old French word pender, both of which translate to hang down. Okay, hang down. pendant threads. Now, how did he get that? All Unkelus says, Kiruspidin. Kiruspidin tabiloch al arba kanfe kisus on the four corners of your garment, di sechase ba. So, let's go to the Ma'at Sari. He says over here, Kiruspidin. So he writes over here, Lashon Yevani. This Aramaic word, this is very bizarre. In the Aramaic words, in the Targum, we are injecting Yavan, Greece. Okay? Greek words. Lashon Yevani. V'hu kimin chutin yisaydin hayotzin bebegin b'shnei kitzaysav. Yes, I'm listening.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, I'm listening, yes.
Oh, very good.
I can't hear you. Is it because of my computer? I can't hear. Is the internet very weak? I can't hear.
I'll try again. Can I manufacture just sweaters made with shatness for export to Thailand?
I believe so. I believe the answer that it's permitted. There's no iser hano.
Because the word is still varnish.
Exactly. There's no, the prohibition of shatness is only, there's no iser hano. When it comes to cooking together meat and milk, then you're right, then it's forbidden. But when it comes to shatness, the prohibition is only to wear it, to derive warmth, but to manufacture, it appears there's no prohibition. That's what appears.
Okay.
So the word is a very unusual word, kruspidin, and in this sense we say that this is a Greek word, and what it means is fringes. Like, you know, on these nice talesos they have on the end of the talesos, like part of the garment is deliberately not finished, and like strings hang out, and it's tied in a knot, and they do it like a couple of times, a couple of different of these sections, and when you look at a person wearing the talus, it looks very nice because it has like these fringes, these hairs that come out. So that's really what tzitzis are. Tzitzis, to a degree. I mean, the tzitzis, they don't do like that. There are many, many halachas. They have to be put in. They have to be put in separately. V'chulu. But generally, there are strings attached. Okay, everything in life comes with strings attached. Kiruspidin tabiloch. This is a very interesting word. Again, over here in the English, I don't know how precise this is. In the English, it says, make yourself pendant threads. Pendant means something hanging. A pendant today is a piece of jewelry, but it's specific. A pendant necklace. A pendant necklace means an ornament that is hanging around the neck. Okay, over here it says pendant threads. All right? I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know really if that's really how they got the word, whoever made this translation, how they came to that conclusion, kiruspidin. The kiruspidin over here, he says again, is a Greek word. Lashon Yevani, v'hu kamin chutin yisaydin hayoytzin bebegin b'shnei kitzaysaf. Loi tergim gidilim b'sharish gidil, k'mosh tergim ma'asei avos, uv de gidiloi ela k'mosh tergim tzitzis. Okay, going on some other sophisticated things that I'm not sure what it means. We'll leave it with that. Very interesting over here. Okay, next pasuk.
It's a piece of metal that hangs.
Right, that hangs. So see, that's not what the sefer, the Ma'at Sari, says. In the Ma'at Sari, he says that the word kiruspidin means unfinished threads. You have a garment like you see today on the nice, you know, on a nice talus, on an expensive talus, where you know, at the end of the garment, in certain sections, there are threads that are not deliberately, they were not finished. And they're like tied together in a knot, which, you know, it makes it look very nice. Here, let me go put on the screen. Go to Google. I'll put on the screen a picture. Okay, we'll type it over here, a talus. T-L, talus. Talus. Jewish, Talit, Jewish. And we'll click over here on images. Okay, Mayor, you're missing out over here, Mayor. And look, here we have over here. Okay, here, look at this picture over here. Okay, and if you can see it, and enlarge it. Okay, I don't know if you can see it, but you see over here, there are these fringes. Let's see if we can make a whole page out of this. Chabad. No thanks, they want money from me. No thank you. And over here, we'll make it large. You see, there are these fringes. It's not just a great picture. Let's get a better picture. To find, here's the picture. Right, this is a good picture. Here we go. What happened to my picture? Here it is. Is anyone able to see this?
Yeah.
So you see over here these nice little tassels that are coming out of the talus? Right, so this is not a pendant, because this is part of the cloth itself. These little strings that come out of along the edge of the garment, this is part of the actual garment. And they're not finished. And they're purposely not finished. And then a knot is tied to make it look nice. They're cut, and the knot is tied to make it look nice. So tzitzis, to a degree, is like that. Okay, obviously not. Obviously, it's only on the side. It's only on the side of the garment. Not on the garment itself. But there's a similar characteristic. All right, so therefore, what does it mean the word kruspidin? We have machlekes between the English of Sepharia, which says it's a hanging, a pendant threads. And it says in which appears to be something separate. You take threads, which, I mean, that's really what tzitzis are. And on the other hand, in the Greek word means it's like fringes. All right, whatever it is, let's go further. Now we go to a new sugya, a new parasha. It says over here, Samach, so now a parasha stuma, a new halacha. A man marries a woman and things don't work out right. And he comes to hate her. At the end. Why? Now, what does Rashi mean the word soifa? I'm not sure. Let's see the Targum. And right? The yis nina, and he hates her. All right, let's see what happens now. The Samla, what does he do when he hates her? He sets upon her alilois divadim. What does that mean? Alilois divadim. Over here in the English it says charges. And he makes up charges against her. Okay, alilois, that's how you translate the word alilois. V'hitzio lecha shem ra, and he brings forth against her a bad reputation. And he says, I took this wife, I came near her, and she is not a besula. She lived with another man in between the Erisin and the Nisun. We have to appreciate this was the Daf Yomi, this the whole Daf Yomi in the last couple of weeks. In Mesechta Ksubis, the Gemara has been learning about this intensely, this sugya. And the sugya basically is, we have to remember that in the time of Chazal, a marriage took place over a one-year period. There are two parts to the marriage. There's the erisin and the nisuin. When the man does the erisin, what does he do? He just gives a woman, there are three ways to do erisin. We do it today one way. Kesef, money. A man gives a woman kesef, a pruta. Today we give an isha a ring, a tabas. The ring has to be worth at least a pruta. And at least have them at the supermarkets. 25 cents, you put in 25 cents outside the supermarket and you turn the knob and it comes out an egg, a plastic egg, and you open up the plastic egg and what do you got in there? I got a ring. Is that ring worth a pruta? Well, you had to pay 25 cents, so the chayr is worth a pruta. And the man gives her this pruta and he says, Hare'at b'kudesh asli. Now, at that moment in time, the woman is fully, fully married. This woman is a married woman. She is forbidden to be with anyone else. All the laws of a woman being an eshes ish apply. However, although they're fully married, the husband is not allowed to live with her. Because in order to conclude the marriage, he needs to do what's called nisu'in. What is Nisun? He has to bring her into his possession, into his domain, and recite seven blessings. Until that is done, she's called an Arusa, which means that she is fully married to him, but the Chas and the Kala are forbidden to be with one another, because he has to make a second transaction, a second acquisition, by bringing her into, inviting her to come into his domain in the presence of witnesses and reciting a blessing, seven blessings. Today, in the modern world, in the 21st century, how do we do both of these things together? We do it in one shot. We have a chuppah canopy. The canopy is his rishus, and she comes into the rishus, and while she is in his rishus, he makes erusin. We really do it backwards. That's really the truth. We do it backwards. We first do nisuin. She comes into his rishus, and while she is in his rishus, he gives her the kesef kiddushin. He says to her, "Hareya mikudeshesli," in front of witnesses. She accepts it. So now, and then we recite the seven blessings to conclude the nisuin. Okay, so we do it today in one shot. Now, go back to the time of Chazal, ancient times. A woman had erusin. He says to her out in the street, in front of two witnesses, "Hareya mikudeshesli." Now, when will they have nisuin? Typically, a year later. If this woman lives with another man in that interval, she is chay of death, nisa. So here's the story. A man goes and he takes a woman. He does erusin. An entire year passes. And now, after a year passes, he goes and the bo'i lecha, which basically means he lives with her. And he discovers that she is not a besula. And he suspects that she lived with another man in between the erusin and the nisun during that 1 year period of time. And if it is true, and if you can prove it is true, that she did live with another man between that year period between the erusin and the nisun, she is put to death. So he starts the process. V'samolecha, he discovers that she is not a besula. Now, you know, there can be different reasons why she's not a besula. Maybe she had an accident. Maybe when she was a child, she got into an accident. Maybe she got into an accident in the year between the erusin and the nisun. Maybe she did live with another man, but it was against her will. Someone raped her. So he goes now, and he doesn't want to hear any excuses. He says, "Oh, you willingly live with another man in between the erusin and the nisun with some Allah alilas devarim charges of words." He now sets for her a bad reputation. And he says, "I married her a year ago. I came near her now, yesterday." So let's learn these two pasuk. So we learned already that. Let's learn this pasuk over here, the second pasuk. So Rashi says, "V'som la lilos tavarim, avera goreres avera." One sin leads to another sin. One leads to another sin. Avar alay sisna. Over here, he hates her. Soif I love only day lashon hara. Now, why does he hate her? Doesn't say why he hates her. He hates her for no good reason. And now he's going to go and speak lies. And so isha hazos mikan she'ein oimer davar ella b'fnei baal din. It says hazos. When you give the testimony, when the man says in front of the bezin that this woman, she is not a besula, he has to say it in her presence. We learn that from the word zos. Okay, that's Rashi. What does Unkel say? Vishavila taskope milin. What does that mean? Let's look at the English. He berates her with calumnies. What is that word? Calumnies. I never heard that word before. I'm very ignorant. I'm sorry. I just never made it to become an educated person. What does this word mean? He then berates her. I don't know where you get the word berates. Why does it say the word berates? That's what it says over here. It says over here, Vishavila. He sets in her. Taskope milin. What does that mean? So the English translation here says it means calumnies. I never heard that word before. Learned some English over here. Calumnies. I never saw this word ever used. I have no idea what this word is. Over here.
Calumny.
I am turning on over here. We have over here pronunciation.
Calumny.
Calumny. So first.
Calumny.
Calumny. Calumnies. Plural. The making of a false and defamatory statement about someone in order to damage their reputation. Slander. A bitter struggle marked by calumny and litigation. Okay, so basically, Lashon Hara. Libelous words. Over here in the English, and actually on the screen, it says libelous words. And alleges defamation about her. And he claims, I married this woman and was intimate with her. And I did not find signs of her virginity. Let's go back over here to the Hebrew Targum. Vishavila taskopei milin. Taskopei milin is very unique words. We have a lot of new words that we never had before in the Targum. The apek alon, he brings forth upon her shum bish. Shum means a reputation, a bad reputation. The yemar, and he says, yos itiso, hada, this woman. And notice it says, eso isha hazois. There are two words, this repetition. The omar, yos. Yos is S, okay. Itiso, hada, this woman. Nis say this, I married her. The alis levasa, I was intimate with her. I entered within her. That's a very, very graphic term. The lo ashko chislo bisulin, I did not find bisulin. All right, so let's take a look over here at the Atzari. I have no doubt that this is a gold mine for him. The word taskope. Okay, taskope. Kavanosai, kloshna kosov, loshna alila. Kavanosai. Okay, he doesn't really explain. The Ramban says, lies. Taskopei, it seems, what we call Maitzi Shem Ra. In the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, there's a vocabulary. And the vocabulary is that there's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is true. Lashon Hara is true. And Maitzi Shem Ra is a lie. So it seems over here that the Targum is translating the word, what we call, what we like to refer to as Motzi Shem Ra, he's translating with the word Taskope. Taskope milin, lies. The apek ala shumbish, a reputation of bish. The emar yos itisohoda nisavis valis livasa. Livosa. The lo ashko his lo bisulin. Alright, we have a really dramatic story here. What happens next? The notice every time in this parsha the word naro does not have a hey. The hey is absent. The hey has gone off to a better place. The father of the naro, and notice it says the mother. It's very, very important. A chiddush nifla, that it says that the aviha naro and her mother. It's not enough that the father is involved the mother, and they bring forth her virginity. Now, what does that mean? They bring forth. So Rashi over here says, "See Rashi, as we are mi shegilu gidulim haroim yispazu aleha." Okay, so the aviha nado viima. Why does it say the mother? Because if this woman was mezane, if it's taka true, the parents should be put to shame. How did you raise a child that committed such a heinous sin of living with another man in between the erisin and the nisuin? Mi shegilu gidul maharoim yisbazu olecha, should be disgraced. What does the Targum say? The yisav avuhi. Now the yisav means take. The ulemta of the young lad, the young woman. Dulemta, the ima, and her mother. The yapun yos, okay, the ulemta means the young woman, the nara, and her mother. You'll take the father of the young girl and her mother. The yapun yos, they will bring forth bisule ulemta, likodom. Savei Karta, in front of the elders, the Zikne Ho'ir, Lisra, to the gate, okay, based in Asra of that place. This is very interesting. When it says Hasha'ara, he's making a very important point that the gate here means the Bezdin. Okay, the Bezdin, the gate of Bezdin, Asra of that place. Now, what's very important is because the reason why I'm saying this is because last week's parasha, there was a Rashi that really, really went to town on this. It says there by the Edim Zaymanim, was it the Edim Zaymanim? I don't remember. I'm really forgetting. Was it the Edim Zaymanim? Maybe it was another sin. It says there that you take the person to the gate of the city and you execute them, you kill them. And Rashi makes a big, big deal that when it says there the word Hashara there in last week's parasha by a particular sin, it does not mean that you execute the criminal or the evil person in front of the court. Although generally the word Sha'ara means Bezdin, but in that context it does not. It means the city, the location where the person committed the crime. Okay, I don't remember what the crime was. It could be it was Eben Zayman, it could be it was Avod Zarah, it could be it was witchcraft. You have to take the person back to the city where they committed the crime, and at the gate of the city, that's where you execute the person. So everyone in the city knows what happened. Because if you kill the person, Bezdin, sometimes you can go very, very far away. You can go to a Bezdin, other end of town, another city. So no one even knows the person was killed. So there when it says Sha'ara means the gate of the city where the crime was committed. Targum here says, not in this case. This is the Targum. In this particular situation, it says, we're not yet up to killing her. We're not up to killing her yet. We're up to this moment in time coming to discern, to know, to understand exactly what happened. Did this woman actually do the Aveira? So let's go further, next pasuk. The Omar. Look what he did. He hates her. Let's see Rashi. Woohoo! Look at that. Mayor, are you looking over here, what it says over here? The Avi Hanara. Over here it says in Pasuk 15, Avi Hanara v'imo. And now it says here when he comes to the court, he says, Omar Avi Hanara. What happened? What happened to the wife? The mother? The Omar Avihanara le'elazakeinim. Rashi, Malamish Einur
Shosli. Media doesn't get involved, because once she gets involved, they don't believe the whole story.
Malamish Einur Shosli shaladaber b'fne'oish. Anyway, I have a simple question. When Rashi says, who is the Isha? Who is the subject? Is this the daughter? Doesn't she have what to say about herself? Or is this the wife, the mother? In Pasuk 15, there are two women here in this story. There's no shvig, if you notice. There's only the mother and the father, the mother and the daughter. V'lokach avi hanara v'imo, and her mother. They take her and they bring her to court. And then when they tell the dayanim this, look what our son-in-law did. V'omer avi hanara, Rashi. How come it says over here, what's Avi Hanara? What's Dafka Avi Hanara? Malamech Ein Rishus Lo Isha Ledaber B'fnei Ish. When Rashi here says Lo Isha, which Isha is he referring to? The daughter or the daughter's mother? The man's, the Avi Hanara's a wife, which was the Ima. Maybe it's both. It's not so clear. No woman is allowed to speak in the presence of a man. You wish, huh? Okay, what does the Targum say? V'yemar avuha de ulemta, the father of the young woman, lisovaya, to the elders. Yos birati, my daughter, yehovis ligavro, hodin. I gave her over marriage, into as a wife, and look what he did. My Adim, my son-in-law, vayitznoach, he hates her. You know, there's a very, very famous var from I think from Yeruchim Levavitz. I believe it's from Yeruchim Levavitz, the Baal Musa, the Mashkiach of Mir Yeshiva, in the pre-war Europe, and later became the Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. And He says, they asked him, what do you look for in a shidduch? What should you look for? You have a daughter and you want to marry off your daughter. And you want to go out into the world and find a boy, a good boy to marry your daughter. What quality should you look for? Should he be a landon? Should he be a gevir? Should he be tall and good looking? Should he be very clever? Should he be what should he be? So he says, it says in the Torah, as biti nosati leish, a mensch. The first thing you look for, nothing counts. The first thing is esbiti nosati to an ish, to a mensch. That's the most basic thing. After you can find the person who's a mensch, then we can negotiate. Someone this past Shabbos told me, I visit a certain person once in a while. I didn't come last week on Thursday because I went to Avart. Last Thursday, I went to Avart. My parents were very close with this couple, and they're not youngsters anymore. Not young, and their granddaughter got engaged, so they asked me to please come to the Avart. All right, so I went to the Avart. I was there for a few minutes. And on Shabbos, I went to visit, and they were telling me about the chassan, you know, who their granddaughter got engaged. They were telling me about the chassan. So they said to me that the kala, obviously it's not the kala, the kala's parents, bought the chassan a beautiful watch. I'm sure they paid plenty of money. They bought a beautiful watch for the chassan. And the kala gave the watch to the chassan. So the kala said to the chassan, put it on. Put on the watch. I got you a gift. Please, wear the watch. So the chassan said to the kala, I can't. I can't put the watch on my hand until I first thank your parents for this beautiful gift. I just can't wear it. I'll hold on to it. I'll take care of it. But I first have to go to your parents and thank them before I can put on the watch. I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful story. I was very moved by that story. Biti nasati lo ish. Okay, so here we are over here. Brati yohavis legavro hadein into. And what happened? Something went sour. Something went wrong. And he hates her. He has taken an aversion to her. Aversion to her. Okay? Nice, fancy, nice word here. What is it in the Targum over here? Targum says, V'yem u'dilber the Targum, u'dilber the Rashi. Okay, now. And now, what has he done? We go on, V'yitah, V'hinei hu some alilah is devadim aleim. Arloi matzah is devadim basulim. Ve'ele bisuleviti ufarsu hasimlo lefnei ziknei ho'ir. And they spread out the garment. And what does this mean? So Rashi says a murdik of art. Who the garment? Hareze moshel. It doesn't mean a garment. There's no physical garment. Rashi learns the similar here means they present evidence. Evidence that the chassan is a liar. It means a garment over here is not to be taken literally. They present a simla. You find this a few places in Tanakh. I don't have it on. Can't tell you exactly. We have a hareze moshel. Michuvarim hadvarim kasimla. It's clear like a garment. What? How does a garment? How is a garment? Oh, so he explains what we see in the English. This is a figurative expression. They must make the matter as white as a sheet. In other words, a simla, stama simla, is white. It's white. So they say, look, it's crystal clear that this boy, our son-in-law, is a liar. Just like the whiteness of a sheet is clear. It's not actually the garment, it's the whiteness of the garment. And what does the Targum say? Targum says, v'ho'hu shavi taskope, that we discussed at length, lies. Milin lemeimar lo ashkochis livratoch bisulin. I did not find the Besulim. She lived with another man in between the Eres and Besulim. But yet, the Elaine Besulei Verate. That's what he said. And the parents say he's a liar. Here are the Besulei Veratin. The Yifrisun Shoshifo. Kadam Savi Karat. What does that word mean? Shoshifo. It sounds like a shofar. What does it say over here? And in the English, it says, let them spread the cloth. Okay, so he just translates it over here. In the English, it says cloth. Let me see what it says over here in the Ma'at. Sorry, we're going to stop. We're out of time over here. Okay, it says over here. It says over here, cloth. Let me find it. So where's the pasuk? It's Alila Estevarim. Okay, and Farsu has similar. Lost the place over here. 17. Pasuk 17. Motza Samita. It means a bed, like linen, what you put on the bed. Ka Savraban. Like Timsil Unkelis Bechol Simla. Shemtesh Itagmaisa Shushifa. El Lashon Kesus. Umalbush. Tirgim Bekulam. Ksusim Albush. Milvarkan. Lefishu Asudur Hayedua Betalmud Shayoiduboy Habesulam. Unbelievable. Shoshiv Shem Asudonim Ketanim Yatvi Bohem Aroish Unkelis Dloikirashi Perit Unkelikirashi Rish Paras Vasimla Kamadim Arizem Moshe El Kerela Kerebi Avraham. I'm not sure what it means. Hasudu Yimishal Dam. Okay, in other words, it's exactly what I wanted to say. In other words, he's saying over here that nowhere in Chumash, when you have the word Simla, does the Targum ever translate the word Simla with this word. This word is like a word, it's a special type of garment, and it's a bed sheet. In other words, they would put down on the bed, on the night of the Nisuin, a special sheet. And if there was no blood on this bed sheet, that was an indication and indeed that she was Mizana in between the Ersin and the Mesuah. And right away the next morning they would retrieve, or right away they would retrieve this Shoshifa, people in charge, to prove that she was a Besula. So a Shoshifa is a special type of, a symbol is a garment. But a Shoshifa is a bed sheet. And the goal was to spread out the bed sheet in order to produce blood, to prove that she was a Besula. So here the parents of the girl, they say to the Beis Din, this man is a liar. He said about our daughter that she was not a Besula. Look, we have the bed sheet, and the bed sheet is stained with blood. She was a Besula. And that's what the Targum translated with Shoshifa to mean the bed sheet. So we come out now with major machlekes Rashi and Unkelis. Rashi was a parsu asimla. Rashi, it's a moshel. It means they'll clarify the complaint. The man says she was Mizaneh, and the parents say, liar, liar. We have witnesses, this, it'll produce circumstantial evidence that he's a liar. Rat Hargum says, it's not a moshel. It's literally, they produce the bedsheet, which is stained in blood, to prove that she was a Besula. Now, I saw a medrash, shocking, fascinating medrash. It says in the Medrash, the bed sheet was used to be the canopy for the chuppah. Mary, you hear such a thing? When they went into the chuppah, under the chuppah, they have a fancy wedding, paying the pier, a wedding for $1 million, and they have a chuppah. What do they put on top of the four poles? A white bed sheet. And that white... What? A white bed sheet. A white bed sheet was put on top of the four poles. That was the chuppah. And then when the chuppah was over, they took down the bed sheet that was on top of the four poles, where they stood under the chuppah, and they brought it to their bed, and they put it down as a bed sheet, waiting to see the next morning if there is dam, if it is stained in dam. If it's stained in dam, she was a Besula. It was not stained in dam. We got a problem. And that Shoshifa is the bed sheet, which was originally originally put on top of the four poles, which they stood under the chuppah, and now was put underneath, was on their bed. And it's and that's the question, is there blood, is there not blood? And the parents say, this man is a liar. Okay, so machlekes, Rashi and Unkelis, what does it mean, uforesu hasimla? Is it a mashal? And according to the English translation over here in Sefer, it means, the mashal is, just like the sheet is white, they clarify with proof that she was not mizaneh. Or the word similar here means a bed sheet that was used for the chuppah and then used for the, as a bed sheet. And they say, look, there's blood. This guy's a liar. And therefore, we got to do something about this. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Thank you very much for coming.
Am I going to use sheets now, huh?
No one's going to use sheets. Don't worry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
All right. Good night.
Take care. Good night, Mr. Ms. Glad. Thank you for coming.
Good night. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Good night, Hashim. See you later.